Timothy. We're going into chapter 2. At least that was my intention for this morning and up to this point in time. Chapter 3. I do want to refer back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, the illustration, verse 20, in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of honor, vessels of wood, vessels of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. And therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. The things mentioned in this book so far, obviously the immediate context, if a man cleanses himself, that's a choice he makes before God, he'll be a vessel for honor. I would have to include from other scriptures as well as just from life as I know it, there's other things to be cleansed from to be a vessel of honor. And I know it is the Lord that'll point those things out to us. Honor and useful to the master. As we come into chapter 3, there's a definite turn, a definite change of pace that goes on. It is a prophecy. It is prophetical about the future, yet it is current for those people at the time. How can I be a vessel of honor, cleansed from these things, when I am in the midst of such perversion? Such hatred toward God, such rebellion and hardness of heart. It is hard to walk through that. And Paul, in his dying days, as he's writing and relating this to Timothy, this young man he loved so much, in ministry in Ephesus, and it was not an easy place whatsoever. Difficult. Keep walking the walk, Timothy. We come into that first verse of chapter 3. The word "but" is not this in contrast to that. It is a transition kind of a word, but I believe it relates back also to the things he's been talking about. In the last days, he says, perilous times will come. I use that King James word because I prefer it. New American Standard, dangerous times will come. It's a good word, but the word perilous is a word that's an old English word that hasn't lost its definition to our changing culture. And when you talk about perils, that seems to be a bit stiffer than just the word dangers. Well, that's a dangerous road. Okay, that's a perilous road. Whoa. It causes me to kind of sit up and take a bit more notice. And so I want to continue with that thought here. Perilous times will come. Working through the commentaries, I've picked three different ones off the shelf to see what they had to say about this. It is several points of interest came to my mind. One of those is that it appears that this is only way at the end before Jesus comes back. And some related to that. But one of those guys said, you know what? They were in perilous times. And the reference here is it's ramping up. It's going to be like never before. I want to read this and come back to that thought. Realize this. In the last days, difficult or perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness although they have denied its power. What's the application? Avoid those guys. At all costs, avoid such men as these. Well, here's the first thing that caught my attention. One of the commentaries that I like to appeal to, that said I got from Miss Wanda Goins, the Linsky commentaries. Mr. Linsky wrote his book somewhere in probably late 20s, early 30s. It was published in 1937 and republished and republished. Well, 1937 published these words, "Look around us, we're living in those days." Thinking, huh, that was some 80 years ago. Let's take Mr. Linsky and drop him in our culture now and see what he thinks. Then my thought went this way. I wonder about comments made about this passage in the 1500s. Or 1000. Let's go on back. Paul to Timothy. Did Timothy think, man, we're living in those days? We've probably never, ever, ever been without these character, I can't call them qualities. What are they? You know? Flaws, traits. But if they're ramping up in the future as time progresses, drop down, please, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, man. It is ramping. In my short little lifetime, I'm thinking, based on, I remember some of our sneaky, devious little things I used to do with my friends in the dark. And now they're broadcast in the daylight. They're promoted in our culture. In my lifetime, it is ramped up. How much further? You know, how much longer, how much more will the Lord put up with before he said the wording in the scripture, he will not endure this forever. There's coming a time, and I've been reading over and over again the book of Revelation, when the wrath of God and of the Lamb hits regarding this very stuff that we're reading in this passage. And then it's easy to look at this passage and think, well, that's them. Right? Ah, how much of this is right here at home in this body that's me, you know? Let's go back to verse 1. But realize this, the word realize, your translation may say, but know this. And it is not the common generic word for have this information in your head. It is to know this solidly, to have this in your, on your radar screen. Watch out for these guys. Understanding this is coming. Now, I'm certain that it was happening in Ephesus with Timothy, around him, with Paul and around him. But it is a sobering, alerting that Paul is trying to communicate to Timothy. Watch out for this. Now, what really grips me is what he starts with. Men will be lovers of the very first thing out the gate. I notice that it doesn't say, because men are going to be homosexuals as the first thing out the gate. Or whatever else, fill in the gap. Watch out, men are going to be murdering one another with pistols and driving stupid on the roads. The very first thing mentioned, it seems like all the others might be hanging on that. Lovers of self. Let's talk about that for a minute. What's that bring to your mind? No names mentioned, don't go there. Lovers of self.
Around the world, really. But that self-establishment.
In any culture. In any culture, in any time.
Self determines what's right or wrong.
Okay. What other thoughts do you have?
Well, one of the things that concerns me when I hear it coming from believers or Christian sources who say, well, you know, you have to love yourself because God says to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't learn to love yourself, you will not be able to love other people. And I think of, I think it was Paul talking about marriage and the man is to love his wife as he loved his own body. And he says, nobody ever hated his own body. We don't really have to learn how to love ourselves. Because loving doesn't mean I'm going around saying, oh, I think I'm so nice. But it's like, if somebody's going to get hurt in this altercation, I want it to be them and not me.
Okay.
I want to come out on top. I want to survive.
I do love myself.
Yeah.
Love my neighbor as I do. Hey, if my nose itches, I scratch it. If I'm hungry, I feed it. Why? Because I love myself. Charlie?
But I would submit that people who have depression do not love themselves.
I would not agree with that. I think there's some things that are misunderstood, misconstrued. And the loving of self, no one yet has ever hated himself. I think we're starting into some, actually, applications that are different from one another. But the loving of self, we look out for ourselves.
But they don't.
It's all about me. They do.
It may be even a deeper interest in themselves. But it's going to be different because depression goes out there. And I don't want to get sidetracked here. I don't want to get derailed. But, in fact, I've had counseling conversations over and over again about that very topic. I heard a pastor once say to somebody he was counseling, oh, I hate myself. Why do you hate yourself? Well, I got such a big nose. He said, no. If you hated yourself, you'd be glad you had a big nose. Good point. See, he's getting deeper in the root system of that. But the point is, we are selfish. That is what this is about. Go ahead, Dave, then I'm going to come back and continue on here.
I would like for you to continue.
Okay.
Dan, I know we have some differences regarding the meaning, the basic meaning of, and the contrast between the agape love and phileo love. My contention is phileo love puts the focus of attention on the object being loved. Phileo love has been used right here.
Four times.
It's the focus of attention, in this particular case, is on the self, on me. It's not on somebody else. It's not another object. It's on me.
Okay. The first thing that he mentions here, lovers of self, that doesn't mean he loves or she loves anyone else except how it might benefit them. I am number one. I am the center of the universe. Okay, go quick.
It seems like when you love yourself, you want to be in a position like you're like God.
It's true. It seems like you'd be in a position like you want to be like God. Huh? Who originated that one? Let's go back to the beginning.
Isn't that what you call a narcissist?
Yes. The very word that some of the commentaries used about this, narcissist. It's all wrapped here. Okay, starts out with watch out, realize this, perilous times are coming. Okay, I want to think about that charge for just a minute. I want to relate it to some illustrations that we may be able to grab onto. This is speaking like as unto a small vessel on a big ocean with a huge storm coming. Perilous. This is speaking as unto a lone soldier having to get from point A to point B. The enemy has already been there and planted landmines. That's what this really is. That's the intention of this. That's the strength of this. And as I've tried to communicate to my kids learning to drive over the years, I always have a plan B. Because on the road, we know. I don't think we have to repeat any of the tragedies that have happened even in the last couple of weeks. Watch out. Perilous times are coming. Now, what is here is the plan A. He's told us the focus in chapters 1 and 2.
Plan A, stick to it. Don't deviate from it. You'll be sidetracked if you do, because there's lots of imposters out there, lots of liars trying to pull you this way, pull you that way. Stay on target. Particularly in chapter 2, verses 14 to the end, stay on target. Don't get into the argument with them. Don't have that youthful craving to have to be on top. The only one that's got it all right. And as you're progressing, you think this is bad now? Some perilous times are coming. Men will be lovers of self. Okay, there's something there. Something there that I need to grab onto. It's not just that I'm going to run into a selfish person here and there. This is a cultural deviation from what should be. And as we come toward the end, I think we need to take this more and more seriously. The culture is doing this. Whoa, welcome to America. It is all about you, so all the advertising goes, all of the teaching goes, and much of the religion goes. It's all about you. Anything to get your attention on God, and the easiest thing is to get it back on you. It's promoted, it's encouraged, it's taught, you know, it's there, it's reality. Perilous times are coming. You're walking through that field of landmines. Be careful where you step. Okay. Men will be lovers of self. Not going to try to unfold each one of the things. The words that are in our translations are very good. Lovers of self, first of all. What comes up next so very often? Lovers of money, and it drives the lives. Lovers of self. Selfishness and laziness, I learned a long time ago, are not the same things. The selfish man might be lazy, or woman, but laziness, that's different. Selfishness is, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to do it. It's not about me. It's not benefiting me. It's me, me, me. Lovers of money. That's not the rich guy, necessarily. Might be. But lovers of money can be that guy that's living under a bridge somewhere. There is something here. The culture is going this direction. Oh, why? Nah, I better not go there. It gets a little personal for an entity that's not us. Loving of money can happen in Christianity. It can happen in Christian ministries. It can happen and be kind of foundational to some of those that are sending people out to do ministry. That's all I'll say. Be aware, the love of money is a sneaky little thing. And it is the word phileo again. They will be boastful because they are arrogant. Those two words together, kind of one hangs on the other. In their pride, they're going to be, you know, chest out. They're the one that's got it down. Revilers. Disobedient to parents. That always kicks us into its children. But I'm wondering if this also includes adults who have been trained in what is right and saying, I'm not doing it. And go off their own direction. This isn't just strictly to children. Though it's pretty effectually applied to children. Disobedient to parents. It's a purposeful choice. Ungrateful. There's that word I spoke of at the beginning of our time here together. Ungrateful. As a character trait of a culture. All these kind of fit together. They really do. There's the pieces. Unholy. That's pretty self-explanatory. If it's all about them, it's not about God. And those very words are used very soon. Unloving. Without love, for others. And that's a love that is a practical helping someone else, caring about someone else. Irreconcilable, they refuse to get along. They refuse to have something made right in a relationship. Where does that leave them? At a place all under themselves. When you see it my way and you admit it, then we'll be friends again. Irreconcilable. This next word is interesting to me. Malicious gossips. We know what those two words mean. Full of malice. Maliciously hurting someone through their words. Gossip. Some of your translations have the word slanderer. Right? Greek word there, diabolos. You know what that's usually translated as? The word devil. Devil. Okay, what's all this about here? Be careful, Timothy. Perilous times are coming. You're going to be walking in the midst of this in your culture. It's going to be easy to get pulled this way and that, because every one of these is going to come couched in some purity look. It's going to be packaged to look righteous, verse 5. Look godly, verse 5, when they're denying the very God that they're talking about. Whoa! It gets deeper and deeper. Without self-control. Lovers of self without self-control. What does that look like? What does that bring to your mind? Hedonism. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That is the word hedonism. That is the Greek word that we get the word hedonism from. But you're right, it's related to that. Without self-control. There's no inhibitions. You know, doing what I want to do at the moment, it feels good, and I don't care if it hurts anybody else or even hurts me. Whoa. So now we stop and pray, Lord, thank you that we're not like those people. Wait a minute. Back up the wagon here. Lord, how I am that way, change my heart. And it's given as a warning, watch out, because they're going to try to lasso you. And the devil is going to use that in such a way as to ruin your testimony. He's going to want to ruin your direction. He's going to want to befuddle you completely. And I know the first two chapters talked about some of that stuff. Men led astray by such as Hymenaeus and Philetus, ruining whole families. Oh, let's, without self-control, brutal. Some of these words I can easily thumbtack to news blurbs about these innocent shootings, knifings, car rammings, and we go on and on and on. What is going on? I have a certain pet peeve, blaming the news media for a lot of it, blaming our entertainment world for a lot of it. But what it really comes back to is lovers of self. This is my way to get glory. I'll get glory on the way out. And they do. And it sells news. Brutal. Haters of good. And that is not loving what is good. Treacherous. Yeah, I can be on a mountain place where there's a cliff and call it treacherous. And it is. And the word treacherous there is applied. I might be in trouble if I don't watch myself. But these people are that way. Treachery. They are looking to get the next victim as a culture. Reckless. Conceited. Again, full of themselves. Lovers of pleasure. Hedonism comes from this word. rather than, and look at that contrast, rather than lovers of God. That has become their God, which is what hedonism essentially means. Go ahead, John.
In that list, a couple that are in King James that you didn't specifically mention is blasphemers, which is pretty huge, and without natural affection.
The word there for blasphemy is accurate, but we typically apply that toward God, where this tends to be, and it's used that way in the word slander and gossip, and said it's man to man, okay? But it is accurate. It's the right word. And what was the other word?
Without natural affection.
Without natural affection.
What went wrong? Yeah, thank you. So lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, but the sentence doesn't end till the end of verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. By their very actions in life, they've denied its power. They don't belong to the living God that is the loving God and the right God. The live God. Yet it's a form of godliness. Really, the word religion should be there more than godliness. Holding to a form of religion. Now what's coming to your minds? Don't have to mention names. What circles are these people in? You know? Are these just prison inmates, committed felonies? Looking to me like they're convincing people around them that they're pretty godly. Holding to the form of godliness, yet they're not standing on the truth. They're not standing on the rock. And that sand is going to wipe them out. Holding to the form of godliness, but they've denied its power by their very life. Again, not individuals, but a whole culture. Whoa. Oh, take the warning. I'm talking to me. Take the warning. It is in every direction you turn. And it's not necessarily that each one is going to be all of these things. Some of them are going to capitalize on certain ones. Watch out. Perilous times. Times are talking, in fact, perilous times, give this, will come, there in verse 1. And it is the Greek word that means will take its stand. It is there. And you got to get through. And you're telling me to be a man of God, the Lord's bondservant. You're telling me to be a man of honor, useful to the master. I say, God help me. I am lied to, that's why they're called imposters, and I can believe the lie and get swayed that direction. I can become the very thing that I'm being exposed to right now. Watch out, be on guard. Perilous times are taking their stand. Men will be lovers of self. And then on down through that list, I don't have the list memorized, though we could probably come up with the whole thing right among us. They're holding to a form of God, of religion, although they've denied its power. Timothy, here's the admonition. Don't toy around with it. Avoid. That is a purposeful decision to go the other direction, sidestep that thing. Last night, actually, I was reminded of this verse. We had a bizarre experience. Some of us were up in the mountains getting a Christmas tree for our families. And it was nighttime coming home. Four cars of us. I was in the last one by my choice. And I saw something off of Waldo Lookout Road looking down. Some lights were wrong. Something was happening there. I finally got down to the place, and others had traveled on from there. There's a guy where there shouldn't be a guy. There were two guys up on a hill with a bright light and barking as we'd passed by. It's kind of a little funny. I stopped because the one in front of me had stopped. I wanted to see what's the problem. They pointed and I said, "Oh." About that time I walked back to my truck, here comes one walking down the road with a can of beer and, I believe, on something else. Out there at night, way up on top of the mountain. and wow, how are you doing? And it got into kind of a weird thing, you know, and I knew I need to watch my little words right here, because otherwise I might get involved in something I wasn't planning on getting involved with. And I was very thankful to the Lord that it I was able to go away and just leave them doing whatever they're doing up there in the mountains. Okay? What I attempted to do, thank God it worked, was avoid a problem. Okay? There's a couple of them out there, and I'm going to be the tough guy. That's stupid. In that particular setting, it's better just to, you know, I'm going to bid you goodnight, get back in my truck, and we're down the road. They did not need a ride. I asked them that. Oh, anyway, the weirdness of it just brought back this, avoid such men as these. And then he gets into, we're not going there this morning. I think we've put enough out there today. But he starts detailing it just a bit before he gets to that verse. Men will proceed from bad to worse. Armin, you had a comment a moment ago?
Well, I was just thinking there was this kind of the appearance of godliness, I think it could include the prosperity preachers in that.
I believe it fits very well right here. Appearing very religious, very godly, yet by what they teach. And that is the problem in chapter 1 that we deal with, Hymenaeus and Philetus, or in chapter 2, I'm in. And then right following this, Jannes and Jambres. They're pretending, and they're sucking people under their poison. So let's just open it up. Other interaction that you might have. Yes.
So it gives the impression that it would come upon you suddenly. And what I'm thinking, based on something you said earlier, and the scripture that says, "Except the time be shortened, even the elect would be deceived." And so, if you were to take some of us and put us back in 1939. My question is, those things that made them say, this is upon us, would we say that?
Amen.
Because
I wanted
to. The frog in the hot water.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, kind of along those lines, recently I was listening to the early chapters of Isaiah, and I'm going, I didn't know Isaiah knew about her. You know, it's kind of the same thing. This is what I've told you to do. This is what you're doing. It's not the same thing. And it's subtle.
And it's throughout, I would say, though I don't know, this is an uneducated speculation. Any culture, all cultures that involve mankind. Without mankind, you don't have a culture. You have a culture, you have man there, it's going to be like this. But then, they're ramping up. Go ahead.
It reminds me of today we, in my Sunday school class, we talked about Korah.
Yeah.
You know, all through the Bible, that's why the whole word is so important, because it just warning after warning with all these things that happen to people. And you know, I mean, with the little kids, I could truly say, you be careful of Korahs. Mm-hmm. And the difference in Korah and Moses was three times, right in the small part, he fell down before God in meekness and humility and begged God to not destroy the people. You know, and what an example to us. You know, I mean, it's just, we're no different.
If you would like to do a little homework, take a look at Romans chapter 1 after he addresses the homosexuality and lesbianism there. Because that list is going to be very similar to this. And read 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's another list real similar to this. Not something new. And yet it's prophetical that it's going to even be worse. God help us. Mark, go ahead.
I've often heard verse 5 preached from many people. And there's been a lot of different spins on verse 5. You know, having a form of godliness but denying its power. in here, I think the power is the denial to have God transform your life.
Amen.
Am I correct on that?
Amen. I'm right there.
Just denying God the power to do that for you and claiming a form of godliness that you do not have.
It's easy for us to put the costume on.
It is.
And the heart is not changed. And I think that's right where it is. It isn't talking about any religious entity above another.
Right.
Form of godliness can look like this, can look, you know, all the stuff.
He's actually talking about someone in his own group. It can go down further, such as...
Back in chapter 2, Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Who were apparently not regenerated, and still walking in the world and claiming something else.
Yes. Yes. And apparently, men are respecting their faith. Men are impressed by them and respecting their godliness. Paul says, watch out, watch out. They avoid them. Anybody else?
A couple of months ago, while they were having the hearings in the Senate about the arguing over the confirmation of the Supreme Court judge, I had to look up this verse because I was seeing them doing these awful, horrible things. Our leaders. They were doing it in front of the world and proud of themselves. They were boasters, proud, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. It was all over. It was day after day. It was oppressive.
Appalling. Jonah, thank you.
I was just wondering, recognizing in myself that I could have any one of these flaws at any moment that I don't acknowledge God's power in my life, and you talking about this is written to Timothy, but applying it to a cultural context, and so seeing similarities all around us, what are some practical ways to avoid it? I mean, to avoid men such as these, it's like, it's in your own family, it's in your own, like, I know that kind of thing has a tendency to be contagious and rub off, and what is our position in being lights in the world and yet avoiding men such as these?
Okay.
We stopped on the road last night too and asked them if they needed any help, and it's like, that's the right thing to do, and then you're confronted with this.
Yeah, and I don't have another way that I've come up with yet to address that. We'll never have to deal with that again, probably, in that circumstance. I really believe that the Scripture would have us, number one, look in the mirror for us. Look in the mirror of God's Word, because it addresses all of this and tells the believer in Jesus, you ought not to be doing this stuff. We can look at these same things in admonitions to Christian people. Don't do this! Okay, so if I am wanting to stay clean of that...
Number one, let me say, I thank God for the times he said, okay, son, look what you're doing. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. He loves me, so he convicts me and says, hey, I'm being mouthy, or whatever it is. Okay, so if I'm avoiding that, I'm going to be able to sniff it out quicker rather than justify it. What I do with that, however, is going to become very important. And I believe that there's a lot of scriptures that we could turn to that tell us how to approach that and deal with that. Here it stays pretty simple in this particular text to avoid them. But what does that look like? Yeah, what does that look like when it's a brother, a cousin, a sister, or whoever? What will that look like? Talking to a man recently whose brother went homosexual and married another man, inviting the brother to his wedding. He wants his brother to know he loves him. But he cannot endorse that. That's a tough call to make. Let's put it right here. You know, what do you do? He told his brother, as the way it turned out, right or wrong, that I do not agree with what you're doing, but I love you. And he went to the wedding, disagreeing with what went on. And I'm not telling you what to do if that ever comes in your lap, and I hope it doesn't. But that's the choice he made. With that disclaimer, I do not agree with what you're doing. I love you. It's a done deal after I found out about it, heard the story. Tough thing, though. Tough thing. How do you avoid that? I commended him for loving his brother. He needs to. That's the only hope. But what do you do with that? Well, it's like that becomes another issue in a sense there. But anyway, it is tough out there. Go ahead.
Isn't that the kind of example Christ gave us? To let them know that we love them, but we disagree with the choices they're making.
Go your way and do not sin anymore.
Christ told us that he loved us, even though we were still sinners.
Enemies.
Yes, we were doing everything against him and walking the other direction. And yet he chose to tell us he loved us and told us we were in the wrong. And it's our choice what we do with that afterwards.
To avoid them, it seems to me, if the contact is doing damage to my family, I need to not let them in my home. And I think we can look at the scripture and validate that. This can open up a bunch of stuff. Cliff... And then I'm going to go back there.
In a very simple way to avoid, especially in our society where this stuff grows worse and worse, is okay, so we tried to watch this parade with my daughter in it. And you talk about lovers of self and lovers of money and all this, you just add that list right on up of all the ads, just the ads alone pouring at you. Wanted to watch my daughter, so I put up with a whole lot of stuff. But it sometimes is as simple as not inviting a lot of that into your house of what we watch or listen to. So certain music types tend to have more violent things in them. Do I want to invite violence in my house? No, I don't. I mean, the Bible has some violent stuff in there too, but it has a point. Do I want to invite all that stuff, all those categories? Our society, now more than ever, without even stopping to think about it, and I know a lot of you here don't really buy into all that, but I mean, it is appalling how many people don't even think about what they invite into their house. And how easy to avoid is so often an off button.
Or a power source.
Or the Wi-Fi gets turned off. Don't tell them.
Our power went off the other day along with yours, too.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
It was great.
We had a great evening. Let's see. Okay, Bobby and then Trev.
Well, I'm just thinking about grace, you know, and that God gives each one of us individually the grace to go through whatever it is we have to go through. And we can't compare. It's as apples and oranges, you know. It could be the same situation, but God, the Holy Spirit in us, helps us to make that decision. Do we go? Do we stay? Do we say this? Do we say that? And I think we need to be tucked in and submit to God, resist the devil, and flee. I mean, we have to be submitted and constantly filling our hearts and our minds with His Word and with relationship with Him so that we can stand where we need to stand.
That's good. Thank you. And Trouty, let's go on.
Well, I was just thinking of a statistic I read recently that the number of avowed witches in the United States now is supposedly more than registered Presbyterians, which is something like 2 million, I think it is. And I don't know what the number of atheists in our society is. But this passage is not warning against those people who have avowed that they are anti-God. It's warning against people who have a form of godliness but do all this stuff.
Thank you for the clarification. Right on.
Okay. Please understand that God put this here on purpose. He's preserved it for us on purpose and with purpose. It is to be applied, taken personally. God, give us the grace to do that. Opted for a very simple song, just kind of a closure, bring it to that place. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sacrifice, living whatever it is, unto you. That Romans 12, 1 and 2 becomes big again. Yeah. We need Jesus to displace self. God give us the grace to do that.